Paradox Pokemon were the new subcategory of Pokemon released in Scarlet and Violet. They have base stats comparable to legendaries and even have the ability to boost those stats further under specific field conditions. Or, you know, just bypass actually embracing a coherent strategy and give it a singular held item to get the exact same benefit. But as many of us expected, when Generation 9 first launched, the entire first year of Scarlet and Violet was dominated by these Paradox Pokemon. There was even one in particular who was especially dominant. No, this video is not about you, Fluttermane. Stop forcing yourself into everything. You already forced yourself onto 80% of our teams. No, this video is all about the fall of Iron Hands. But what happened? It felt like just yesterday when Iron Hands was winning major tournaments left and right, and was even on half of all teams at the World Championships. But as soon as 2023 turned to 2024, as if Y2K was just lying in wait for a couple decades to come ruin our mechanized companions, Iron Hands just disappeared completely. Competitive players all at once suddenly decided that it just wasn't good anymore and stopped using it. Well, in order to really understand what happened, as well as if the future Hariyama even has a future moving forward, we need to talk about what it was that made Iron Hands so dominant in the first place. But first, it's time to enter my millionaire arc. Because if you're like me, you enjoy tactical games with interesting champions and intense PvE and PvP content. Well, let me tell you about an amazing game that has all this and more, Raid Shadow Legends. Raid is celebrating the arrival of spring in Teleria with a special Spring Hunt minigame. Find hidden items around the Mistwood, and once complete, you can win anything from in-game loot like legendary champions or skill tomes, to even real-life prizes like a free gaming console or gift cards. Simply download Raid using my link, head to springhunt.plarium.com, enter your Raid ID, and start searching for those hidden items. Raid is also celebrating their 5-year anniversary with their first ever Community Weeks, a 6-week-long event where players can be rewarded with the legendary champion, Chronicler Adolin, just by logging in for 7 days between April 11th and July 8th. So come join me by downloading Raid from the QR code on screen or from the link in the description below. Just by joining, you'll get a starter pack with epic champion Tayrell, and when you reach level 25, you'll get another starter pack that includes epic Rector Drath. But these free starter packs are only available if you download Raid using my links. After downloading, use the promo code SPRINGHUNT24 to get silver and more. My favorite champion is Biggin, so if you need some Big Hammer energy, come find me under the name Ray Rizzo, join my clan, delete Urshifu please, and we'll be legends together. So click the link in the description, and I'll see you on the battlefield. Paradox Pokemon were first released into competitive play on February 1st, 2023. This format, referred to as Regulation B, allowed players to use only Pokemon native to Paldea, excluding legendary Pokemon, so no Treasures of Ruin and no Koridon and Muridon. This meant that the Paradox Pokemon, who all boasted high stat totals, would become some of the strongest Pokemon in the entire game, as their competition was all, well, statistically speaking, a lot weaker. But the thing about base stats in Pokemon is they aren't all created equal. It's all about how those base stats are distributed. Let's compare two different fighting type Paradox Pokemon. Iron Hands has a base stat total of 570, where Iron Valiant has a base stat total of 590, 20 points higher. However, Iron Valiant is complete garbage and is almost nowhere to be seen in competitive play. On the other hand, Iron Hands, after only 1 year, it's just outside the top 10 all time in earnings won for its trainers. It's already won more money than Pokemon like Garchomp, Cresselia, and Thundurus, who have been mainstays of the competitive scene for over a decade, which is crazy. But basically, there's a limited number of resources when it comes to training your Pokemon. Unlike the first two generations, you can't max out all of your 6 stats. You have to carefully choose which stats to train, and how much training you want to invest in each of your stats. This means that Pokemon are, for the most part, forced to choose whether they want to be a special attacker or a physical one, as trying to do both will require way too high of an investment, and it's going to spread your limited resources way too thin. So back to Iron Valiant. It has extremely high physical and special attack, which unfortunately means one of those high base stats is going to go to waste. This is why us competitive players will look a lot more closely at a Pokemon's effective base stat total, which is basically a sum of the Pokemon's actually important stats. Iron Hands, with a base attack stat of 140 and a base special attack stat of 50, is pretty clearly meant to be a physical attack, so only a measly 50 base stat points will go to waste. Iron Valiant, though, will have to forgo a massive 120 or 130 base stat points, so its effective base stats are actually pretty terrible. And we haven't even gotten to the speed stat yet. Slow Pokemon have always had success in competitive play, like Amoongus, Gastrodon, and Incineroar, so a low speed stat isn't necessarily even that bad. Unlike every other stat, speed is much more binary. Either you're faster than the opponents, or you're slower. It doesn't matter by how much. So if you're a really slow Pokemon, you'd almost rather have an even lower base speed stat if it meant that your other stats were higher in exchange. Because how much of a difference is it really if you're a base 5 speed or a base 30 speed? Shuckle and Amoongus aren't outspeeding anything anyway, so that 25 point difference would be better served in one of your other more useful stats. And sometimes that low speed can even be an advantage thanks to the move Trick Room, which completely flips the turn order, making the slowest Pokemon move first. Sorry guys, but while we're talking about Amoongus in a video about hands, I have to ask. Are those little Pokeball shield-like things actually Amoongus' tiny little hands, or are his hands holding the Pokeball shield and we don't actually know what his hands look like? Let me know in the comments what you think. Anyway, this is all to say that Iron Hands is just a gigantic ball of stats, with a nearly perfect stat distribution as well. It has massive HP and attack, high physical defense, with the only downside being its mediocre special defense and speed. And like I mentioned, the low speed doesn't matter that much since he can take hits really well, and it can even be a benefit whenever Trick Room gets set up. Players can also easily make up for their Pokemon's low special defense with a simple held item, the Assault Vest. All of this adds up to Iron Hands being insanely tanky, while also capable of dealing massive damage, thanks to an attack stat higher than even powerful legendaries like Solgaleo, Koraidon, and Ho-Oh. But a Pokemon's stats are just one piece of the puzzle that determines whether it's actually good or not. A Pokemon's type, as well as the moves it learns, are just as important. In the case of Iron Hands, Electric Fighting isn't an amazing typing by any means, but it's also not horrible. Perhaps even more importantly though, is its uniqueness. Anytime you have a Pokemon that can differentiate itself from the hundreds of other options, it will automatically have some value. Electric Fighting is only shared by Palmot, and well, have you seen that thing's stats laid out next to Iron Hands? But in a format where Palafin, Iron Bundle, and Terra Flying Roaring Moon were running rampant, and the second best electric type available was Palmot, what else are competitive players supposed to do? They're going to use Iron Hands. Iron Hands also has a pretty good move pool for a Pokemon that so far doesn't seem to have any drawbacks. Fake Out is one of the best supportive moves in the game, immobilizing an opponent's Pokemon for an entire turn. Volt Switch can help switch in a frailer, more offensive Pokemon safely, thanks to Iron Hand's low speed, as well as recycle the ability for it to use Fake Out again. Heavy Slam one-hit KOs the most common Pokemon in the game. Drain Punch synergizes really well with how tanky Iron Hands naturally is, keeping it alive even longer. And Wild Charge is a powerful electric type move whose drawback and recoil damage is actually much less of a drawback for a Pokemon like Iron Hands, thanks to its high base HP. You see, unlike a move like Supercell Slam, the recoil damage from Wild Charge is calculated based off how much damage it does to the opponent, rather than anything related to its own HP stat. So if Wild Charge one-hit KOs a standard Iron Bundle, Wild Charge will deal 33 damage to Iron Hands in recoil. But because Iron Hands' base stats are distributed the way they are with its massive HP stat, that 33 damage equates to barely more than 10% of its health bar. For comparison's sake, a standard Pawmot using the same wild charge would lose over 20% of its health bar in recoil damage. This is why recoil moves like Wild Charge, Wave Crash, and Flare Blitz work especially well on high HP Pokemon, like Iron Hands and Dondozo, as well as on Pokemon who frequently hold berries to gain more HP, like Incineroar and Arcanine. Now, you may have noticed that I only listed damaging moves, so it shows just how good Assault Vest is on Iron Hands, because the big drawback limiting you to only damaging moves isn't even a big problem for it. But while Assault Vest Iron Hands had the most success last year, it actually also saw success without it in order to use stat boosting moves like Swords Dance and Belly Drum to try and sweep unprepared opponents. So now we've covered how Iron Hands has an amazing distribution of stats, a solid and diverse move pool that really suits it, and a unique typing giving it a good matchup into many of the common metagame threats, with no other good electric types in the format to compete with it for a slot on your team. Then what was it about 2024 that caused competitive players to all at once just stop using it? Well, first, let's actually address what I mean when I say it fell off. Because I could be talking about how it went from being on half of all teams to just 25% of all teams, which is still really good, right? Wrong. I'm talking about how in the previous 7 major tournaments, it was on only 2 out of a total of 56 top 8 teams. At the largest of those tournaments, the Charlotte Regional, which was the biggest tournament ever, by the way, there was only 1 Iron Hands total in the entire top 64. And at the most recent tournament at the time of me recording this video in Utrecht, only 2 Iron Hands even managed to qualify for day 2. So that's what I mean when I say it fell off. It's drastic. So there are a few different reasons as to why it suddenly fell off this hard. The first answer is the introduction of older and stronger Pokemon. And I'm not referencing the Treasures of Ruin being added in Regulation C, because releasing 3 incredibly strong dark types just made Iron Hands even more necessary on competitive players' teams. Now look, I know what you're thinking, because people always come up to me with tears in their eyes and they ask me, Ray, sir, look at Worlds 2023. Iron Hands was on 50% of all teams. This Regulation D was a format where they added broken Pokemon like Urshifu and Landorus. If that didn't power creep Iron Hands out of competitive relevance, then what possibly could have? Well, you're right. Urshifu, an extremely broken Pokemon that should have never been released, should have served as competition for a fighting type slot on one's team. And Landorus, who has a phenomenal matchup against Iron Hands, should have intimidated players into leaving their Iron Hands behind. But they didn't. Players realized that simply using them all together alongside the already dominant Fluttermane was most optimal. Iron Hands had a phenomenal matchup against both Urshifu forms thanks to its typing and high HP and defense, but it also had phenomenal synergy with both Urshifu forms as well, since the normal defense against Fake Out is to just protect with both of your Pokemon on the turn Fake Out becomes active, which of course Urshifu doesn't care about. Yeah, this Pokemon was a pretty big mistake. And as for Landorus, it was commonly holding a Choice Scarf with Terra Flying Terra Blast. So if Landorus Choice locked into Stomping Tantrum against Iron Hands, then Iron Hands could defensively Terastalize into a Grass type to resist it. And of course, the counterplay to that is for Landorus to Terastalize into a Flying type in order to use Terra Blast. But if it becomes a flying type in the face of Iron Hands, then it's also at risk of being KO'd. The first DLC, the Teal Mask, didn't even slow down Iron Hands' dominance in Regulation E either. Neither Ogerpon nor Blood Moon or Saluna were enough to make players send their Iron Hands to the scrap heap. But the second DLC, the Indigo Disc, was what changed everything for Iron Hands. Regulation F, the Return of the King. See, Incineroar was a very similar, but better Pokemon, who also, despite what you might think when looking at the type matchup, actually has a very favorable matchup into Iron Hands. They're both bulky supportive Pokemon with Fake Out, who can also do some big damage if left alone for too long. Incineroar is just faster, has Intimidate, Parting Shot is a much better version of Volt Switch, and after an Intimidate and a faster Parting Shot from an opposing Incineroar, Iron Hands just sits there doing absolutely nothing. But there was one more Pokemon responsible for Iron Hands' demise. Raging Bolt, another electric type who's a big ball of well-distributed stats, who became the new go-to electric type for competitive players. Only this one resists fire, water, and grass, which are all really important types in competitive play. And it doesn't even care about Intimidate either, due to being a special attacker. Sure, it doesn't get Fake Out, but it gets a strong increased priority move in Thunderclap instead, as well as other good supportive moves like Electroweb to control the speed of the battle, and Snarl to keep opponent's special attackers in check. But things don't stop there. It's finally time to talk about the biggest thing that has always held Iron Hands back from greatness. In the earlier regulations, it could thrive despite this drawback. But as more and more older, broken Pokemon get added back into the game, it becomes really difficult for a Pokemon who essentially has no ability to compete amongst them. You see, the top Pokemon are all defined by their abilities. Grassy Surge, Unseen Mistake, Prankster, Ogre Pond's 8 combined different abilities, the list goes on and on. And unlike Harsh Sunlight, which can easily be set up to boost the stats of the past Paradox Pokemon by powerful Prankster users like Tornadus and Whimsicott, as well as the drought-wielding Torkoal, Electric Terrain isn't as easy to set up, nor as valuable. For players who want grassy terrain, well, Rillaboom is an exceptionally strong Pokemon. But if you want to immediately set up Electric Terrain, you have to use whatever the heck this thing is called.
Hi.
Seriously, have you ever seen one of these in competitive play? And if you did go to the trouble of manually setting up Electric Terrain with something like Thundurus, you're simply better off using Raging Bolt, who, despite being a past Paradox Pokemon, can actually take better advantage of the terrain thanks to its signature Rising Voltage. But what about Booster Energy? Well, Booster Energy is great when boosting Special Attack or Speed. But why not for physical attackers who want to boost their attack? Well, the reason it's kind of mediocre for them is that a single Intimidate completely shuts you down. And when you switch out to remove the attack drop, you also lose your Booster Energy. And if an Intimidate Pokemon is sent out at the same time as your Booster Energy Pokemon, Intimidate will always activate first, dropping your physical attack, and then Booster Energy will boost whatever your next highest stat is, which is far from ideal. Which leads me to the main question I have in this video. What is it that can make Iron Hands good again? Is it being slept on? Or is its future really this bleak? Well, I do think there is some potential still there in its humongous hands. The first thing we can look at is its held item. Assault Vest is a phenomenal held item for it. We've already gone over that. When the metagame features strong special attackers like Fluttermane and Landorus Incarnate who threaten to KO it, that makes Assault Vest even more appealing. But here's the thing, with Incineroar as popular as it is, and as much of a problem for Iron Hands as it is, and with a lot of Fluttermanes opting to boost their speed with Booster Energy and embracing a more supportive role, instead of using its held item to support the team by just KOing the opponent's Pokemon, Iron Hands might be able to get away with replacing the Assault Vest in the current metagame, in favor of the Clear Amulet, which completely flips the Incineroar matchup to be in favor of Iron Hands. If you can ensure a good matchup into Choice Specs Fluttermane and Landorus Incarnate, then Clear Amulet Iron Hands can definitely work. And if you can time your defensive Terastalization at the right moment, you can survive a hit from both anyway, and pick up a one-hit KO in return with Heavy Slam or Ice Punch. Iron Hands still has the same good matchups that it used to into Urshifu, Chien-Pao, and Tornadus as well. Amoongus also fell out of the top 12 most used Pokemon entirely in Day 2 of the latest major tournament in Utrecht, and Amoongus has always been a very annoying Pokemon to go up against with Iron Hands. Lastly is the one major move that separates Iron Hands from Raging Bolt, Fake Out. I think for teams employing a Trick Room strategy, a Clear Amulet Iron Hands with Fake Out to ensure a Trick Room setup and close combat to threaten a one-hit KO on Incineroar is a major differentiator that sets it apart from Raging Bolt. In a closed team sheet environment like the online global challenges, the mere threat of fake out from Iron Hands can be leveraged into baiting protects out of the opponent while you go ahead and set up a free belly drum instead. These are a few of the scenarios where I think Iron Hands can actually have a bit of a comeback in Regulation F. And speaking of the future, there are only a few weeks left before we enter Regulation G. And with Mirrodin on the horizon to bring an instant electric terrain, is this what Iron Hands needs to get back to the podium at Worlds 2024? Only time will tell. But before you go, don't forget to download Raid Shadow Legends from the link in the description below, and I'll see you on the battlefield.